and many of you do. I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. I use a lot of superlatives, I know. Great, exciting, stellar, all those sorts of things. And it's just been amazing to me, like, what God is doing in this house. And so if you don't like my excitement, maybe you should get used to it because I'm not changing, okay? But I'm excited about what God's doing and what he's done. But honestly, there's great momentum we have heading into the fall. I began to teach you this, that the church has seasons, just like we have seasons when it comes to winter and spring and summer. And so we're getting ready to step into a growth season here at the church. I thank God that we've grown this summer for sure. We've grown deep and we've grown out. But I'm telling you, get ready because we're going to continue that as we head into the fall. Like Enrique and Betsy said a moment ago, next week is an incredible opportunity for you to invite somebody out and bring them to church. You know this about me. I do not ask you every single week, hey, you better bring somebody next week. I don't do that. But I'm telling you, next week is a great opportunity, especially if they have kids or grandkids. And so if you've got a neighbor, coworker, friend, somebody in your family, please bring them next week. Not only are we going to have everything we just talked about, but also we have a free gift for every single parent next week. And just on top of that, we're going to have a special moment in the service after worship where we pray for our students. We pray for the teachers represented in this house, and also we'll pray for all of the administration here in the Cyfair ISD. So please, please, please bring someone with you next week. And on top of that, just 3 weeks from now, we start this brand new series called Overwhelmed. And we are so thrilled. There's another superlative for you. We are so thrilled for this series. And so I'm just going to ask you, begin to pray now for who you could bring to this series. We all know so many people and probably even ourselves that we are overwhelmed. And so we're going to teach people how to win the war against worry. I don't know about you, but I want to win that war. I don't want to be on the losing side of that battle. And so we're going to help some people. We're going to help some people just 3 weeks from now. We've got special performances that are going to happen during that series. We've got free giveaways. I mean, it's going to be an incredible opportunity. So begin to pray now of who God would have you bring. We're going to give you tools these next couple of weeks in preparation for that. And we're excited, to say the least. Well, I want to do this. I just want to make sure you're ready today. I've got a message single. We just finished a summer-long series last week called Bulletproof Soul. Today, I've got a message single, and I just believe that God's going to do some work in your heart and in your mind, but I think you've got to get ready first. So would you bow your heads with me so we pray? God, we love you so much, and I just thank you for today. I thank you for this moment that I believe you're going to speak to us. Doesn't matter what section they're seated in. Doesn't matter if they're here in person or listening online. You've got a word to speak today. And so I just pray, God, that you would use my lips, that you would use my tongue, that you would use my preparation, that you would speak because of me. But also I pray that you would speak in spite of me. God, that you would work through this vessel that I am, and you would speak truth and you would speak life. God, whether it's their first time or they're here basically every single week, I pray that you would do work in us. I'm not about playing patty cake with you. Oh, that was a cute message, and I forget it after lunch. I just pray that life change would happen today. I pray it this way, Lord, that you would tattoo your word upon our hearts, that we couldn't rub it off throughout the day or next week, but it would stick with us for whatever reason, not because of a great illustration or a passionate person, but God, for whatever reason, because you spoke it to us, it would stick with us. Change us. Have your way in us, we pray. And if you believe it today, can you say amen with me? Amen and amen and amen. If you got a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 3. It's kind of funny being in a different place besides Philippians because we were there for so long. But Hebrews chapter 3, if you don't have a copy of God's word, it'll be on the screen here in a moment. Hebrews chapter 3. And for our note takers, you're going to have to multitask because I'm going to give you the title right now too, okay? So Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12, but I also want to give you the title of my message single. I hope you'll write this down, but here it is. Don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read four verses, verse 12 through verse 15. I'm reading out of the NIV today, but no matter what translation you have, it will work wonders for us. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Don't miss your moment. Here's what God's word says to you and me today. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily. That's important. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you, what's the result, may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Jesus Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end, verse 15. As has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. You see, there's three groups of people I'm talking to today, and you don't need to write these next few things down, but three groups that I'm talking to here in this room and listening online. Three groups, and I think we're all going to fit into one of these. Number one, the first group, there's some of you today that you would look at your life and you are a Christian. You are a C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, okay? You are a Christian. You're a Christ follower. You're living for God. You're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you love Jesus. You're trying to live for Jesus. That's the first group. The second group I believe I'm speaking to today that this message is for is that you also would call yourself a Christian, but you are experiencing drift. And in your life, in your decisions, there is a little bit of a drifting away, not towards the things of God. And maybe you didn't even realize it before I just identified it, but that's you. You're in the second group. And then the third group that I'm speaking to today, hopefully you're tuned in. The third group is this, that you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. Maybe you were at once, I don't know, but you're not. But you are here today. And so therefore, you are in this moment temporarily a part of a Christian community. So three groups that I'm speaking to, and I believe God's going to do some work in your heart. Number one, the first point we see here, I hope you'll jot this one down. Number one, God has called each of us in all three groups to cling to community. Cling to community. Well, Pastor Ryan, where'd you get that from? I got that from the beginning of verse 13 in Hebrews chapter 3. But encourage one another daily. We've got to cling to community. You see, community is important. I know far too many people that are doing life and living life by themselves. And I got to tell you today, no man, no woman was ever designed to be an island unto themselves. God actually created you for community. Even the introverts in the room, you need community. You see, it was several Christmases ago. And my wife and I, we've got a 5-year-old son. And of course, he wasn't 5 back then. But he got this gift, this great gift. And like typical, the great gift didn't come from mom and dad because we got budgets, y'all, okay? But it came from grandma and grandpa. And so he got this great gift, and it really was a great gift. It was a kid-sized trampoline. Have y'all seen these before? Self-enclosed, they're almost like the old 1980s workout trampoline, but they put up this protection material around it, and you can fit one kid in there. It's for one child, a kid-sized trampoline. And so he got this, and of course he was so excited. And if you know me, you probably know what's coming here in just a moment. But he was so excited, we were excited for him. But I realized that I do a few things well. I do. But one of the things I do not do well, and I wish I had a different story to tell you today, but I don't. But one of the things I do not do well is putting things together. And so I looked at that box with the smiling kid on it, and I just realized that this is going to be a struggle for me. But as for me in my house, that's my job, my responsibility, to attempt to put things together. And so he had this present, and he was excited about it. And honestly, I exaggerate a lot, just to let you know. I do. But this is not an exaggeration. And I'm honestly, I really am. I'm embarrassed to tell you what I'm about to tell you, but I'm going to be honest with you and real. Because I was scared to put this thing together and because I knew the frustration that was on my doorstep, I waited, no exaggeration, 3 months before I even attempted to put it together. I know you lost all respect for me. That's the God's honest truth. 3 months, not winning Dad of the Year, I realize it. It sat in its box for 3 months. So finally, when March rolled around, told you I wasn't exaggerating. When March rolled around, I'm like, I gotta do something, okay? Like, this is like criminal that I won't put this together for my boy. So I took the box with a smiling kid on it, and I took it to our backyard. We're from Dallas, so we were in Dallas there, North Dallas area, and we didn't have a big backyard, but took it back there, and I took out all the pieces, all million of them, okay, and put them out on the grass, and I wanted to start by putting the base together because everything good has a firm foundation, amen? So I want to put that thing together the right way. And I got to tell you, like, I was defeated before I even started. Can I just be honest with you? Like, the battle was in my mind and I already lost. But I was, like, fulfilling my obligation as a dad. And so I'm there. I got the zillion pieces. And I start to put this thing together. And I'm doing what most guys don't do. I'm actually reading the instructions. Like, I want to get this right. And so I'm going at this thing for, like, an hour. And I can't even put the base together. I wish I was lying to you, but I'm not. Could not put this thing together. And I'm getting frustrated, as you can imagine, because here it goes again. I wish I had different illustrations to give you, but here it is again that I can't put this thing together. The pieces aren't fitting. And so no lie, I'm like, maybe I'll look at the Spanish instructions and like figure this thing. I even went to the German. I don't even speak German. I'm just being honest with you. I gotta figure this thing out. And then I'm looking at that box with that stinking smiling kid on it. And he's like mocking me, y'all. Because I can't put this thing together. I'm getting frustrated just reliving this with you today. And so I'm doing this for what seems like an hour, and it probably was, and eventually I'm done. I'm like, white towel, it's over, I can't do this thing. But then I had an epiphany, y'all, a light bulb moment. I realized the problem. It was the company's fault. It was like God just like shined on me, you know, and just revealed this to me. It was the company's fault. I realized that they like gave me some pieces that were janky or something and like wouldn't fit together properly. I don't know if they had layoffs. I don't know like if they just had so many things they had to produce because it was Christmas season, but it was their mistake. I realized this. So my head kind of went up a little bit. My chest stuck out again. I'm like, okay, I realized this. We're going to get our money back. Isabel, that's my wife's name. We're going to get our money back. And we didn't even buy the thing. But I'm like, we're going to get our money back on this. I cannot believe that they gave me these pieces. I wasted an hour of my life. Let's send this back. And all of a sudden, my wife, in a calm, just sincere moment, she said, hey, Ryan, I love you, babe, and we can definitely do that. Again, she had a great attitude through this. I love you, babe, but before we send it away, do you mind if I just try, just like real quick? I think y'all know what's about to happen. And again, great attitude. I mean, great heart. Hey, we can send it back, but do you just mind if I just get in there for just a couple of minutes? And I'm like, yeah, good luck. You know, try that out. And so I go inside, and my wife, this is true. My wife, she goes and she gets all those pieces and she puts them on our back patio. We had a little concrete patio there. She spreads them out and she starts with the base as well. And literally, no exaggeration here either, literally in just a few minutes, she had the thing put together. I'm talking minutes, y'all. She had it put together. And I'm like, are you serious? I spent an hour working on this thing and you fixed it in minutes. And here's why I say all of that. God's got a word for somebody today. Some of you in this room, you've been struggling with something for years that God could fix in just a moment if you'd get yourself in community. I'm going to say that again. In the same way, there's some people here today that you're living your life as the Lone Ranger and you're struggling. You can't get past it. But if you would just surround yourself with some Christ followers, it would be fixed in just moments. Get in community. Y'all gonna be clapping louder by the end of this message, I promise. You gotta cling to community. No one is meant to be an island unto themselves. Why? Because what I can't do, you can do. And what I can do, you can't do. And together, we are better. God has called us to live life in such a way where there's accountability, there's purpose, there's people that have our back. They realize when something is going wrong in our life, they know us and we know them. And think about it, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, y'all. So even that's not an excuse, okay? And so get yourself in community. And so it just so happens, and it's on purpose, but just so happens that today we're focusing on our connect groups here at the church. Now, maybe you don't know what that is, and I'm going to explain that for just the next few moments, okay? But connect groups, they're important to us. They're vital to us. And they're not really for us, they're for you. And so today, whether you knew it or not, in the fellowship hall where our cafe is, we hope and we pray. This is the first one we've ever done. And there's a lot of first evers because I'm brand new here. But this is the first one we've ever done, and we hope and pray that after the service, instead of slipping off to wait in that long line at that restaurant, okay, instead of going out those doors and facing the scorching heat that our summer has provided, we hope and pray that you'll stick and stay for a little bit, not necessarily in this room, but in the fellowship hall, because we have 7 connect groups, the leaders that are there ready to tell you about what their group is all about. And they're there not to just take up some of their time or your time. They're there because they understand the power of community. We call it the Connect Groups Expo. And so we want you to get a free drink from the cafe and walk around the fellowship hall and talk to those different leaders and see what they're about and when they meet and where they meet. Now, some meet every single week. Some meet once a month. But to find out which one works for you. And if you're new to this whole church thing, let me just tell you what a small group is, okay? A small group is a small group of people with similar interests that know each other, that do life together. When they have to go to the hospital, who's there? Their small group. When they have a financial need or they've got a huge prayer request, who's there to pray for them? Their small group. When they have a brand new baby or they just went through a devastating divorce, who's there for them? Their small group. Whenever they missed a month of church and they began to drift away, who realizes it before anyone else? Their small group. You need community more than you even know. So I'm challenging you today to stop by one of those groups, to hang out in the fellowship hall for a little bit after service. Our official semester, we have semesters for these. Now, some keep on going because they love each other so much and they keep hanging out, and that's awesome. But our official group time for this fall starts September the 9th. That's our first Sunday of our series, Overwhelmed, and goes all the way through November the 18th. So very easy. You're not signing up for life, y'all. If you go to a group and it's not for you, you can try out another one, and we hope that you'll cling to community. Number two, the second point, if you're taking notes in church, which would be a fantastic idea. Number two, cut the callous. Cut the callous. Where'd you get that from? The end of verse 13. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Church, I hope you'll hear me and you'll hear me clearly. But a calloused heart is an extremely dangerous place to be. A calloused heart is an extremely dangerous place to be. I'm going to tell you more about myself. But especially before I got married and even at the beginning stages, I used to work out all the time, like all the time. And I know this is shocking to you today because you're like, Pastor Ryan, you're so buff. You're so ripped. And I know you weren't supposed to laugh there, but that's cool. But I know that, like, I appreciate your compliments. I really do. But I used to be in the gym all the time, and I get in there some, just not near as much as I used to, and no excuses, it's on me, but I still know a decent amount about being in the gym, and like I know you shouldn't wear jeans to the gym. I know you should actually work out when you go and not just talk to people. Number three, I know you shouldn't just like go there because the cafe is good, but you should actually hit some weights while you're there too. I know a few things, and one of the other things I know about going to the gym is after you work out specifically with weights for a while, you get these things called calluses. You know what I'm talking about. And anytime you do the same thing over and over again, you develop calluses. And so I still have some here. Believe it or not, I do go to the gym some still. It's not very often. And I've got some calluses here, and they stayed with me. What's a callus? A callus is this. It's these layers of skin that are developed over time to help protect your skin, protect your body. So here's an example for those that are not in the gym very often. Like when you're doing bench press and you've got that bar, the bar by itself is typically 45 pounds, and you put some weights on each side. And whenever you go up and down with that bar, the grips on that metal bar, not only is there the weight there, but they're also cut up. There's grooves in the grips so you don't slip off whenever you're getting sweaty. And so those grooves, naturally, when you first start working out, they cut you. They do. And not just that, but many times you'll bleed at the beginning as you're starting to work out, and it hurts. It's not a fun deal. But what happens over time? Over time, you develop calluses, and eventually you get to the point where you can't even feel the bar anymore. That's what a callus does. That's what it is. And unfortunately, many of us can become calloused towards God. Then when we used to feel him and sense him. Like, I don't know about y'all, but worship was just on point today. I love it every single week. But man, there was just something special God was doing just a few moments ago. And you hear a pastor say something like that, and maybe you're there and like, I didn't feel nothing. What are you talking about? I just heard the instruments and the voices. And if we're not careful, we can become calloused towards God. We don't feel him anymore. But not just that. We can become calloused to the things of God. So when I share about all the salvations that have happened these last 8 months, you used to be excited about a life change, but now you're like, cool, another stat for you, Pastor Ryan. Like, we can be callous to the things of God when we hear about this backpack thing where we gave all those away, like no strings attached. When you hear about what God's doing and how he's growing us, this doesn't move you like it moved you before. It moves God's heart, but your heart is calloused. And not just that, but there's some of us here today that church attending has really just become a religious exercise for us. Started out feeling good about it. Oh, I feel God. I sense God. I know he's speaking to me. There's power in us gathering together for an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday morning. Like, that's a good thing for us. But I really, really, really don't enjoy it like I used to. And we put all these names on it. Well, I don't like that preaching, or I don't like that thing, or I don't like this, or this is too bright, or this is too loud, or this is too soft, or this is too dark. We put names on it, but really what it comes down to is our heart is becoming calloused to the things of God. Instead of church being a life-giving, joy-filled, I can't wait till I get there kind of thing, it's something we check off on a box on our religious exercise list. And I gotta tell you today that one of the power things involved in community, what God teaches us here, is that it helps you cut through that callus. That when you're in community, and you've got people that know you and you know them, they can see and sense sometimes things that you don't even see and sense in your life. Well, I didn't have, no, I'm good, I'm great, but now your best friend, that person in your small group, they know, and they know your attitude has gone from very positive to always negative. No, I'm okay, no big deal. And they realize that, man, you used to go after it in worship, or you used to serve here and there. I mean, we couldn't stop you from serving, and now you're barely even involved at all. You got to have community because it helps you cut through the callus. And so let me just give a warning to some people today. Calluses, they don't develop overnight. Calluses are hard to cut through. And so you can't do it on your own. God designed it in such a way where you would have people in your life that it can encourage you as you live for the Lord. It's vital that we ask God to help us cut the callous, to cut the callous. You know, more about me, it's no secret. I'm just going to switch gears for a moment. It's no secret that I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Can get it out there. And please don't boo me off the platform. I'm learning to love the Houston Texans. I watched their preseason game last night too. Okay, not just the Cowboys one. So I'm getting there. Deshaun Watson, hoping he's going to have a great year and excited about all of that. And I just feel like God has given me grace to love two teams. You may not believe me, but this is my journey, y'all, okay? It's my journey. I'm on it. Grace to love two teams. And even though I love the Cowboys, and I'm from Dallas, like I said earlier, and so, like, I was born into this, okay? So don't be mad at me, mad at my mom and dad, okay? It's their fault. And so anyways, love Dallas Cowboys, learning to love the Houston Texans. And I say all that because I've told you before, but I'm a sports fan, so that's why I salt in these illustrations into my messages. I love sports. So I don't just love teams. I love, like, sports. In the same way, here's the example. In the same way that I love this church so much, but I also love the church, like Big C. Like, I'm not in competition with people around us or in other cities or states. Like, we're all on the same team. So that's the same kind of idea. So I love football. I love basketball. I've talked about that before, but football is where I want to hang for just a moment. And so I respect greatness. I've told you that before. And so I'm going to talk about for a moment one of the Dallas Cowboys' biggest rivals, and that's the Washington Redskins, okay? And so I can respect other teams and other people. And specifically, I just want to tell you, this is real short, but I think it'll be helpful. I want to tell you about Joe Theismann, and specifically in 1985. Now, if you don't know anything about football or sports or the Washington Redskins, let me tell you just a little bit about him quickly. Joe Theismann, one of the greatest of all time, amazing leading passer for the Washington Redskins. I believe he still is, but I know he was for years, but I believe he still is. Incredible things that he accomplished. He went to the Super Bowl back-to-back years, which is extremely hard to do. They won the first year, Super Bowl 17, and they lost the second year, Super Bowl 18. And Joe Theismann, many sports fans in the room will remember this, but his career ended in not a great way, but he had a gruesome, and I mean gruesome, Google it later at your own risk, but a gruesome injury on Monday Night Football. And he never came back from it. Gruesome leg injury. So Joe Theismann, at the end of his career, amazing career, he was reminiscing. We all do this. When we retire from our jobs, we think back, good times, bad times. And Joe Theismann was doing that. He was looking back on his career, and he was very honest, his assessment of his career, specifically the back-to-back years that he went to the Super Bowl. He talked about how he had become calloused towards the game that he once loved. In fact, don't take my words for it. Let me give you a quick direct quote from Joe Theismann. Here's what he had to say. I got stagnant. I thought the team revolved around me. Remember, they won the first year in the Super Bowl and lost the second. When we went to back-to-back Super Bowls, my approach changed. I was griping about the weather, my shoes, practice times, and everything. And today, I wear two rings. That's interesting. I wear the winner's ring from Super Bowl 17 and the loser's ring from Super Bowl 18. You see, he had become calloused towards a game that he once had loved and brought him so much joy. Well, where's the correlation to us? I just believe this with all my heart, that there's some folk listening today that at one time, all you thought about was Jesus and his church and what can I do to serve. It's not about me. But over time, maybe, just maybe, your heart's become calloused. And instead of being excited about living for God, it's become this religious thing, this legalism that I got to do this for a couple minutes and I got to serve every once in a while and I'll give sometimes and I'll do this thing. And it's just checking off the boxes in your life. And not just that, but an easy way to identify if you have a calloused heart is how much are you complaining about things? Well, I remember when I could find my seat really easily. Yeah, it's because there was nobody here. Just being honest. Okay? If you want to make sure your seat's always safe, don't go to a church that's growing. Man, I like to make people mad, I guess, babe. I'm sorry. Sorry. Are y'all hanging with me a little bit here? I'm just saying, if you're making all these excuses and you're complaining about this and that, just maybe your heart's become calloused before God. What's most important should be Him and His church and what He's doing in our city, in our area. We've got to ask God to help us cut the calloused. Number three, the third point, cure the curse. Cure the curse. I'm hitting home stretch here. The landing gear's out. We're going to land this thing pretty soon. Cure the curse. Where'd you get that from? Verse 15. We're going to go a little deeper today. I like this when we go deeper in the message, and so I think this will be good for us. I'm going to read verse 15 again. As has just been said, today, not tomorrow, not the next day, not next week. That's important here. It says today for a reason. Today, if you hear His voice, talking about God's voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. What in the world is the rebellion? I want to tell you about it in a moment because this is vital for us. The author here in Hebrews, and there's some debate about who's the author here. It's not really important for our time together today. But the author here is most definitely, clearly referring to an Old Testament passage in Psalms, okay? So I'm going to take you there. Psalm chapter 95, the end of verse 7 and all of verse 8 says this. Today, if only you would hear His voice. We just read that a couple of times, didn't we? Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, that word's important, and as you did that day at Massa, that word's important, in the wilderness. I want to tell you this next couple of moments what these two words mean because they are vital for us to get all of this point today. Meribah means quarreling. I'd write that down if I was taking notes. And Massa means testing. So you've got quarreling and then you've got testing. And it is absolutely crystal clear, no debate about it, that the author of Hebrews has chosen that passage to refer back to on purpose. Why? Because here's what was happening in Exodus and Numbers. You can read about it for yourself. But God had a promised land for the Israelites to get to. God's people. He had an amazing place, a paradise on earth for them. But instead of getting there quickly, they quarreled. There was testing. They complained. And so instead of getting there quickly, you know how long it took them to get there? 40 years. What does that mean for me, Pastor Ryan? I hope you get the deepness of this today. This means that a whole generation missed out on God's promise. And that should wake you up. If your eyelids were getting a little dim this morning, you should be full wide, like eyes wide open. A whole generation missed out on God's promises. Why? Because they quarreled, they complained, they did not trust God like they should have. They did not trust Him. They hardened their hearts before God. And I just wonder today, are you maybe in that place? In fact, I want to talk to the young people in the room. So the teenagers, the young adults, people in their 30s and 40s. I want to talk to you for a moment, okay? Everybody else, you can just glaze over for just a second, but I'm going to bring you back. But let me talk to you for a moment. Hear me. It's a pastor who loves you. There's something out there called the curse of youth, and I don't know if you've heard of it before. But the curse of youth is this, and especially in our context, is this, that one day, I'll live for God. That maybe tomorrow, or maybe next week, or maybe once we have our first kid, or maybe once I get married, then I'll live for God. It's the curse of youth. And I gotta tell you today, as a pastor who loves you, don't you dare buy into that lie. You are not guaranteed tomorrow. And I'm not talking about a truck hitting you, even though that could happen. I'm talking about this. Today may be your last day of having a soft heart before Jesus. Because eventually, I'm speaking truth today, eventually God will allow you and give you over to a hardened heart. He did it with Pharaoh. Read the Bible. Eventually, he got to the point where God said, if you're going to keep resisting me for that long, I'll let you do your own thing. And I'm not saying it's impossible to come back from that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's difficult. It's extremely difficult. So don't you dare play that game that tomorrow I'll get my life right with Jesus. Or when this thing happens in my life, I'll get my life right with Jesus. No, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts like they did in the rebellion. You to bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. God, I pray right now, this holy moment. Pray for this church. I pray for us. Come on, no one's talking, please. The Christ followers are praying underneath the sound of their voice, not out loud where anybody would be distracted, just in their heart, in their mind. But God, I pray right now. I pray that this word would penetrate even the hardest of hearts. The very fact that we're here means that there's enough softness left for you to come in. So I just pray right now, God, for these 3 points from your holy text, Hebrews chapter 3. God, may we apply them right now to our lives personally. Let's not be worried about, oh, this person needs to hear this message, or I need it. No, God, right now you want to do work in us personally. So I just pray right now. Number one, if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice that they've been living life solo. God, we know this. You can be in a crowd and still be lonely. I'm not talking about a crowd. I'm talking about community. Knowing people and them knowing us. God, I pray that they would make a change today. And it's practical. Even as we say amen moments from now, they can just walk into the fellowship hall and get a drink from the cafe and just look around. There's no obligation there. But God, they have a step they can take right now. Not next week, today. God, I pray number two, if there's anybody here that they realize maybe for the first time that their heart is becoming hardened before you. That what used to bring them joy and happiness and gladness is now just this mundane thing. Oh yeah, well, this is when we do this in the service and this is when we do that. Just checking off that box. Oh, I felt better this week because I went to church today. And it's going to be good because of that. And God, I just pray that it'd be so much more. And God, we pray lastly, if there's anybody here that they've been waiting to live for you, I pray they would realize, and I mean this, God, for them, I mean it sincerely, but they would realize the foolishness of their ways. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Not just talking about life and death. I'm talking about, God, a heart that's soft before you. And as you speak right now, I pray that we would bow our knee, bow our life to you. So eyes closed, heads bowed all across this place. If there's anybody here or listening online that you see your life and you know that I am not right with Jesus, there's a chasm there. There's a separation. I've been trying to be a good person, but I realized today by the Holy Spirit that I can't do anything on my own to earn salvation. It's only because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. It's only because of his resurrection. That's Easter. It's only because of what he's done that I can find freedom, that I can be forgiven. If that's you today, you're far from God, but today you want to give your life to him. Can you raise your hand so I can see it? You're far from God. I see that hand. You put it down. Anybody else? God, you're so good. Don't miss your moments. Don't miss your moments. I see it. Don't miss your moments. Anyone else? God, you're so good. We thank you for speaking. Eyes closed, heads bowed. For those that raised their hand a moment ago, I'm going to ask you to take another bold step. It's not going to be physical. It's going to be spiritual. But I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. It's a prayer of surrender to Jesus, the one who loves you. It's a prayer of asking God to forgive you of all your sins. It's a prayer that tells Jesus, I'm not going to wait today as I hear your voice. I'm going to cry out to you. And after you say that prayer with me out loud, repeating after me, if you'll mean it with all your heart, God promises that you can know that you know that you know that your eternity will be spent in heaven with Jesus. That's what he wants for you. I'm not just going to ask those that raised their hand a moment ago to repeat this prayer, but like normal here around Christ's covenant, I'm going to ask all the Christ followers to repeat as well. It's not that they're all getting saved again. It's because we're family. We're a community, and we support those that are giving their life to Jesus because we were in their place at one time. So those that raise their hand and those in support, repeat this after me, and more than that, mean it with all your heart. Say this, Dear Jesus,
today
I hear your voice, and I surrender.
And I surrender.
Today I put my hope,
my trust
in you.
Jesus, I believe
that you died on the cross. That you rose from the dead. And so I ask you today,
right now,
to forgive me of every sin,
of every mistake.
You are my God.
I give you my past.
I give you my present.
And I give you my future.
Help me.
To live for you.
All the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can somebody give God praise for what just happened in his house? Stand to your feet with me all across the house if you're able to. Thank you again for being here. I'm going to refer to something I do each time that people get saved, which is basically every week. Amazing. But I've got here a Start Bible kit in my hand. They're free in the back over your right shoulder. Please pick one of these up if you raised your hand a moment ago, or maybe you have it one time and for whatever reason you forgot to get one. They're free. It's the Gospel of John. We ask you to read one chapter each day for 21 days, and then you formed a great habit. There's also a letter in there talking about your next steps, water baptism, and things like that. So we hope that you'll pick one of these up. Secondly, I've just got three things, and then we'll be dismissed. What we do every single week is we invite those down to the front who want prayer. So I just want to give you a friendly reminder to help us leave the front part of the auditorium open so we can pray for others. If you want a fellowship, hang out, talk, you can do that in the back of the auditorium each week. But this week, we hope that you all filter out into the fellowship hall to check out all the amazing groups and get something free from the cafe. And then lastly, number three, I'm almost done. I hope and I pray that I'll see many of you tomorrow morning for our last early morning Monday prayer. If you haven't been to one of the others, this would be a great week to come because it's the last one. So tomorrow morning, 6 to 7 a.m., before you go off to work or go to conquer your day, we're going to meet right in here. I'll be here leading that, and we're going to pray the way. We're in the middle of 21 days of prayer, so we hope that we'll see you tomorrow, and then, of course, the week after that, the next Sunday. I love you so much. You are dismissed. God bless you.